The greatest gift that could ever be given was given when God gave His Son to the world. Amen? But for that to happen, some people had to have the courage to say yes. And today we're going to be looking at Mary and thinking about, number one, what makes this story so special and what makes Mary's courage, Mary's faith, Mary's just overall willingness to buy in to this plan is amazing. Because when you think about this, you really have to put yourself kind of in her shoes. And while we don't know exactly what was going on, we have history that tells us about the culture in which she lived and the conditions of the world at the time that she was visited by the angel to make this announcement and to have this process started in her. And today I want to read to you kind of her response to what God asked her to do so that we could have the gift of Jesus today. Stand with me this morning. We're going to get into this a little bit more, especially at the first of the year, but this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. And I'll put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. Says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." Let's pray. Father, as we read this story, it's filled with so many high points, places where Mary had to be thrilled, scared, bewildered. Just the amount of emotion that she had to go through in these few days. But yet, Father, she had the courage to say yes. She said, "May your will be done." Father, help us as we try to understand what kind of courage it took for the Christmas story to all come together. But also help us to understand what it would mean today if we were to say yes to you. Whenever you ask us to do something, whatever it might be, give us the courage to say yes. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So the subtitle of the message is Saying Yes is Scary. I don't know if you've ever tried to put yourself in Mary's position. Most of us guys have not. But maybe some of you ladies have. The culture of the time was a time when, let's just put it this way, women were undervalued and girls were seen as necessary and possibly a moneymaker for their dads because they could, quote, marry their daughters off, a dowry would have to be paid, and they could get one of the mouths out of the house and they wouldn't have to feed as many people. Times were hard. The time period that Mary was living in, the Romans occupied Israel. And they taxed them harsh. And they were mean. And life was not easy back then. And Mary's dad had found a man, whether it was somebody who he had prearranged when she was young, or whether it was someone who came looking for a wife, he found someone to marry his daughter. And things were looking good, if you will. She was pledged to be married. She wouldn't be long. In fact, because she was pledged, that meant they'd gone through a partial ceremony. And she was going to be married as soon as, quote, Joseph came to get her, take her to her new house, and the marriage was consummated. And that's how they kind of fulfilled this whole process, which could take up to a year at times. The bride never knew when her husband was going to come to get her. And so she's in that point, and whatever she's doing, one day an angel appears to her and says, "Hey, God's got a job for you, and you're going to get pregnant and have a son." And I think in her, in her excitement over the fact that an angel has come to her, at first she is kind of overwhelmed, and the angel tells her, "Don't be afraid." She's obviously heard about the possibility of a virgin birth because it's a big thing in the book of Isaiah, and they would have heard about it. And she is willing to do what God wants her to do. But let's point out some things that are a little bit spooky in this story, if you will, or at least hard or scary for Mary. Number one, how old was Mary? We don't know how old Mary was. If you look back at culture, more than likely she is probably between the, and I hate to say this, but she's probably between the age of 12 and 18. Most people try to be nice about it and go, "Oh, she's probably about 16 or 17. I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem. That's a little young for me too, but at least that's not as bad as 12. But the culture was different back then, okay? Women became women at a young age. And so Mary was, though she was young, she was not fully married, okay? And this is going to present problems. She's not fully married. She's been pledged to Joseph. And she's going to suffer some ridicule, some persecution in some way, shape, or form. She is going to at least get the mean looks, and people are going to talk about her behind her back. She may not realize it at the time, but that stuff's going to happen. People are people. She was a virgin. And so when he tells her, "You're going to have a son," she knows that she's not going to be, quote, fully married for a while, evidently. And she's like, "How is this going to happen?" And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born with you will be called the Son of God. And at that point, this story takes a whole different turn, if you will. She could have just been given a really cool message by the angel that, hey, you're going to have a son. Well, that's good. I want to have kids, so that's awesome. And he's like, no, you're going to have a son now, and this son is going to be the Son of God. And then she goes, how's that going to happen? Because, again, the obvious, she's young. I mean, she's really young. I would guess, if I had to say the age of Mary, I would say she's probably 15 to 18. And I think of my girls at 15 to 18 and go, thank you, Lord, for not putting that on them. And I say that seriously. I cannot imagine being given that kind of responsibility, that kind of message at that young of age. And yet, we have to consider this. She may have actually wanted this to happen. I told you that she's probably heard about the virgin birth from the book of Isaiah. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe it was every girl's dream to be that lady or that virgin that was going to have God's son. Maybe this was the dream come true for her. She'd been, oh, I want to be that lady. I want to be that woman that gets to have the Son of God, the Messiah. Being chosen, I mean, think about it. If there's a job up for grabs at your place of work that's really a cool job that's going to set you above, being chosen to get that position, that's kind of what we all want. We want to be chosen to do something or to have a really cool position in life. And so if you're, you know, I remember when I was trying to become a police officer and I was going through all the stuff and, you know, you want to be chosen. And part of it is stuff that you can do. You got to test high on some things. You got to be able to run and, you know, make it through the obstacles. But then you got to go sit before a panel of sergeants and captains and do this oral board, and there's no right or wrong answer. You just got to tell people how you feel. And then after that's over, you hope they choose you. And they did choose me. And then God said, no, you're not going to be a cop. And that's okay. God has a plan. And when I was 17 and I was called to be a pastor, I did not say yes. I did not say yes until 17 years later. But God has a plan, and he knew how it all would all work out. But think about it. Being chosen is what we want, and being part of God's plan, that's kind of exciting. I mean, when you think about where Mary's mind was going, and again, at the time of the telling or the giving of the announcement, Mary was just, okay, kind of, oh, all right, that'll work. I think after she left, when the angel left, she's like, he said something about Elizabeth having a baby. I got to go talk to her because there's so many things that are going on in my head. I've just got to talk to somebody. And so she rushes off to go talk to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth basically confirms that, number one, the baby is basically already there with Mary. Jesus is already in her at that point. And Elizabeth said, you know, the blessing of having the mother of my Lord come to see me is unbelievable. And Mary at that point is going, Elizabeth's probably in her 40s or 50s, maybe, possibly older. She had been barren for all of her life. She finally was able to conceive. And now you got this 16-year-old girl that walks into her house and she says, the mother of my Lord has just walked through the door. That's crazy. I mean, this story that we celebrate and we talk about the mother and the baby in the manger and the shepherds coming, and we've made it out to be this really neat pageantry, and it's a wonderful story, but it doesn't start unless somebody takes a huge step of faith to say, okay, I'll be a part of that story. And even if it might be something that you think you want, be careful what you ask for. You know, to say, I hope I'm the lady that gets to be the mother of the Messiah. Okay, you asked for it. You know, here we go. And I don't know if any of you have seen the story. There's a movie that was made in 2006 called The Nativity Story. And if you haven't seen that movie, figure out a way to either get the movie, rent the movie, do something, watch that. When Mary comes back from Elizabeth's house, Mary's got the baby bump. And the town, oh, she becomes the talk of the town. And they don't want to have anything to do with her, and her parents are almost ostracized. I mean, it's just, it's like, oh, great. And when they get the message that it's time to be taxed and they all have to leave and they're walking out, and Mary's on the back of a donkey and Joseph's leading, Joseph turns around because everybody's kind of looking at him like, well, it's good riddance. And Joseph turns around to Mary and goes, they're going to miss us, you know, because they ain't going to have anything to talk about because we're leaving. But this put Mary in a really difficult spot. And, you know, there are going to be times in our own lives where saying yes to what God wants us to do is going to cause us some difficulties. I heard somebody say the other day that they don't say Merry Christmas anymore because it's just too, you know, everybody says Merry Christmas. So they say Merry Jesusmas, you know, and when people go, what? They go, well, this is Jesus' birthday, and that's what I'm saying. And it brings out a whole new way of spreading the gospel. That person's willing to do that. I'm not sure I am yet, you know. I think it's cool. I think it could be neat, but I also think if God asks you to do something or lays that on your heart, then you do it. But you just don't do it because somebody else is doing it. So Mary's in a difficult spot here. Joseph's not going to be happy. We know Joseph's not going to be happy. And we're going to talk about Joseph next week, okay? The order of this goes Mary today, Joseph next week, the shepherds the following week, and then we get to the wise men. They all had to say yes. It all took a lot of courage. Joseph's not going to be happy. How would you feel if, men, how would you feel if your fiancé came home and told you she was pregnant? And it's not yours. That's going to be a problem, to put it lightly. Okay? And again, Joseph wasn't happy. And she knew he wouldn't be. She had to know it. We'll talk about his response next week. And we've already talked a little bit about it, but people are cruel. You know, you're an unwed mother in those days. That was grounds for being stoned. That was grounds for being kicked out of your family. If you didn't die, you know, just a little bit of heads up. The Bible says that Joseph decided to divorce her quietly. He loved her. He didn't want her to be put to death. He didn't, but to, you know, to do what he's going to do puts a lot of pressure on him too. But like I said, people are cruel. And there's going to be times in our lives where to live for Jesus, to stand up for God, people are going to say things about us, to us, about our God. But are we willing to say, you know, I don't care what you say. I care about what God says. This is what we believe. Okay? At this church, you're never going to hear me give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you what God's Word says. I'm going to study hard. I'm going to think about what the passage says. I'm going to look at commentaries, and I'm going to tell you what I believe God is saying in this book. And in this book and in this story, part of what God is telling us is, I'm giving you this story because this is like a crazy example of it, a request. And Mary said yes. And Joseph said yes. And the shepherds said yes. We'll leave our sheep and go see this. And the wise men said, okay, we'll leave wherever we're at and we'll go hundreds or thousands of miles. It takes 2 years to get there. But they set out on a journey. And they said yes. Are we willing to say yes? Will you say yes if God asks you to do something? And I don't know what it could be. It might be share the gospel with somebody. It might be somebody knocks on your door and needs their gas tank filled. Will you do it? You know? It can be a little thing. It could be a huge thing. Are you willing to do something for God that will work in His plan? Let's stand this morning. Father, one of the things I think is the most exciting part of the story of Christmas is the fact that you took ordinary people and gave them extraordinary responsibility. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the task and the commands that you give us in your word as responsibilities to live for you. And Father, when you ask us to do something above and beyond, may we be willing to say yes. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season will be a time when we can just really focus on your plan, your purpose, not for the world per se, but for us. May we take this personal. May we believe that if we were the only person on this world, that you would still have sent Jesus, because you love us that much. And may we live for you because of that. I ask this in your name. Amen.